From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Nearly 170,000 Mainers could go without food assistance in November unless the federal government shutdown ends. As Michael Livingston reports, Maine and other states have been notified that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, will run out of regular funding in the coming weeks.
SNAP is the nation's largest hunger prevention program. In Maine, the average monthly SNAP benefit for a family of four is $572. 75% of SNAP households include at least one working adult. More than half include a person with a disability, and more than one-third include children. Maine's Department of Health and Human Services is trying to prepare SNAP recipients for the loss of benefits. Ian Yaffe is director of the Office for Family Independence.
SNAP helps support food security. We know that it improves health outcomes, and we know that it strengthens Maine's economy. So for the 100,000 plus people who depend on this program, we hope that there is a solution that means that they'll be able to put food on the table next month.
Yaffe says SNAP benefits already loaded onto EBT cards in October remain available for use to purchase food. Those who need additional resources are encouraged to call 211. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
Nearly 37,000 Mainers are enrolled in Medicare Advantage plans that will be discontinued next year. The State Bureau of Insurance is urging consumers to enroll in other insurance plans by December. As Patty White reports, the upheaval in the market is causing an overwhelming demand for assistance.
At the Eastern Area Agency on Aging in Brewer, all of their nearly 400 appointment slots for enrollment assistance were filled by mid-October.
This is an enormous problem for people in the state.
The agency's Medicare supervisor, Ann Shea, says in a typical year, a couple of the 40-plus plans that are offered in the state might be discontinued or changed.
One or two, maybe. This year we have 10.
Insurers across the country are scaling back Medicare Advantage plans in response to higher medical costs, low reimbursements, and increased need for care. Shea says the 2026 Medicare Advantage plans being offered in Maine appear to have reduced benefits and higher out-of-pocket costs. She encourages consumers to call 1-800-MEDICARE for assistance or visit the Medicare.gov website. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Registered nurses from Portland and Bangor highlighted concerns about nurse safety at a joint press conference today in Augusta. The group says nurses' workloads have increased dramatically, and they face more threats and violence from patients. They argue the best solution is for hospitals to implement mandatory nurse-to-patient ratios. Erin Oberson is a registered nurse at Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor.
Nurses care about putting patients over profits. The time has come for our hospitals to implement safe patient ratios so nurses can care for our patients as we were trained to do and ensure the best outcomes possible.
In a statement, Deborah Sanford, Vice President of Nursing and Patient Care Services at EMCC, says the hospital's approach to staffing levels is focused on patients' needs. Sanford says EMCC also measures staffing levels against a national database to ensure it's in line with other high-performing nursing organizations. Graham Plattner, a candidate vying for the Democratic nomination for the Maine U.S. Senate race, disclosed today that he has a tattoo associated with Nazis. Plattner says he didn't know about the affiliation when he got the tattoo as an 18-year-old rifleman in the Marines. Steve Missler has more.
Plattner's extraordinary disclosure came on the Pod Save America podcast, and as his campaign seeks to weather a barrage of potentially damaging revelations about his past that have come since Governor Janet Mills entered the race. Plattner, a combat veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, said he was inebriated and on leave in Croatia in 2007 when he and fellow Marines got the tattoo.
And we chose a terrifying-looking skull and crossbones off the wall because we were Marines, and, you know, skulls and crossbones are a pretty standard military thing.
The tattoo, known as Totenkopf, is visible in a video that Plattner shared with the podcast in which he's dancing shirtless at a family wedding. The Totenkopf was adopted as a symbol of one branch of the Nazi SS. Plattner shared the video because he says Democrats are telling national journalists that he is, quote, a secret Nazi. He said those claims are at odds with numerous social media posts in which he describes himself as an anti-fascist and against racism. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The state official charged with animal cruelty in the death of Maine's first public safety comfort dog, Baxter, resigned from his post in early October, according to the Department of Public Safety. Brody Hinckley, the former state director of emergency communications, was the handler of the 3-year-old Chocolate Lab, who died after allegedly being left in an overheated state vehicle in late May. After the state's animal welfare program completed an independent investigation of the incident, the Penobscot County District Attorney issued Hinckley a civil animal cruelty violation, and he was immediately placed on paid administrative leave in mid-September. A spokesperson for the Department of Public Safety said that Hinckley's resignation is a personnel matter and that she couldn't comment further. His court date is scheduled for November 6th in Bangor. Portland City Councilors last night rejected a $9 million bid to expand surface parking at the Portland International Jetport. The project called for the paving of new lots, adding a net total of 265 spaces to accommodate a growing number of Jetport travelers. Jetport officials have said expanded capacity is needed first, before a larger parking garage can be built on site. But some Jetport neighbors have pushed back, arguing that parking lots don't conform to Portland's climate goals. City Councilor Wes Pelletier agrees.
You know, I truly believe that this is the best decision for the Jetport, but I am not convinced that this is the best decision for the city.
Councilors say they want Jetport officials to find another way to build a larger parking garage on site without the paving. The council did approve $5 million to install a battery storage system at the Jetport. The estimated population of critically endangered North Atlantic right whales grew by about 2% last year to 284, an increase of about 8 individuals. That's according to new data from the New England Aquarium and North Atlantic Right Whale Consortium. Heather Pettis, a scientist with the New England Aquarium, says the increase is positive news.
But it's not huge. And so what we've seen happen to this population before is, given the small size and given the vulnerability, that trajectory can change really quickly.
Pettis says 2024 was actually a tough year for the whales, with 5 deaths, 16 entanglements, and 8 vessel strikes. This year, she says there have been no deaths, only 1 new entanglement injury, 1 vessel strike, and 11 calves born. The new population estimate will be reviewed by the North Atlantic Right Whale Consortium, which is holding its annual meeting in New Bedford this week. Authorities in France are still searching for the robbers who broke into the Louvre in Paris over the weekend and stole millions of dollars of jewels. Coincidentally, a group of about 3 dozen travelers from Maine were visiting the museum at the time of the heist and were in the room next door to where it all happened. The group was traveling with the Brunswick-based Maine State Music Theater, which leads a trip for patrons and donors to see theater in Europe every year. Artistic director Kurt Dale Clark says the group had just started a private guided tour of the Louvre on Sunday morning. They were about to enter one of the exhibition rooms when suddenly staff members began to push them away and they were surrounded by SWAT teams.
And then we had a French guide that sort of ducked us around a pillar, got us down a flight of stairs. We actually got in our bus and got out of the building before they fully shut the building down. Thank God.
Clark says initially he assumed the worst, a shooter or a terrorist attack.
As we exited the building and turned left, our 5 guides, the 5 people that were our Louvre guides, started pointing, and there was a ladder leaning up against the building. And they're like, that's the ladder. That has to be the ladder. That's not supposed to be there.
Clark says it wasn't long before the group learned what was going on. The museum was being robbed in broad daylight. Video from the scene shows an extendable ladder on the back of a moving truck that the robbers used to reach the balcony of the antiques wing, where 8 pieces of Napoleonic jewelry were stolen. The Maine State Music Theater has been leading these trips for more than 2 decades, but Clark says after their experience at the Louvre, this year's trip takes the cake.
We have so many people on the come every year, they will never forget this. I mean, like they said, it's like our own episode of Ocean's 11.
It's actually the sequel, Ocean's 12, that features a heist at an art museum in Rome. Meantime, Clark says he wishes the group could have seen more of the Louvre before they were whisked away, but he says at the very least, they walked away with an unforgettable story. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, repatriation of Wabanaki artifacts. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.